I was born in Cordova in 1960, and the earthquake was in 64. Cordova was, I believe, the closest town to the epicenter of the earthquake that there was in Alaska, anyway. It was pretty dramatic, you know. It was a big, big thing in a small kid's life, you know. And so what happened, as I recall, we were, I remember the book I was reading. I'm a very book-oriented person, and I was reading a book called Gee the Sled Dog, and it was illustrated by Fred Mockington. And I remember sitting on the sofa, and I wasn't reading it, of course. I was trying to read it, but my brother was there, my older brother, and suddenly the sofa started leaping around, as it were. It was a huge earthquake, you know. I mean, it was literally leaping around. And I remember my parents coming in, you know, and hustling us all out, and my dad got us into the car. My dad was taught math and science at the high school, and he was pretty knowledgeable about things. And he knew an earthquake of the size that this apparently was had a potential for a large tsunami. And so he's like, we have to get to high ground. Some of these are memories I actually have. Some are things, you know, told to me later. But I remember being in that car. We grabbed the neighbor's kids because they weren't home, and put them in the car. It was a station wagon, and it was still shaking. This earthquake, the initial quake, lasted quite a long time for an earthquake of that magnitude. I mean, minutes, minutes, minutes. One of the longest lasting initial shocks on record. Second largest earthquake ever recorded, and the largest in North America, of course. But the car was leaping off the ground. I do remember that, you know. So we couldn't drive it. It was bouncing so hard that we couldn't go anywhere. And the trees next to the car and this lot had these trees. And I still remember they would whip back and forth and then snap at the base. And when they would break, they sounded like cannons going off. Boom, you know. And I do remember those noises and the car shaking. It was pretty traumatic, you know. And so eventually that initial shock was over. And we drove to high ground. Cordova was on solid rock, much like Ketchikan, and so it didn't get the sort of damage that other places did. But I know my dad had told me later, I don't remember seeing this, but he said he looked out and there's a little island called Spike Island in front of Cordova, which would be kind of like Panic Island is, and he said all the water was gone. You could have walked over to it. And he said, I realized then that there was going to be a possible tsunami. Well, a tsunami did not hit Cordova really, but there was a huge tidal surge, and the only person that died in Cordova was a guy that had gone back. He lived in a little house on the slough, they called it, and it was kind of a rough area and stuff. And he went back down to his house to get a radio, and when this tidal surge came back in, it wasn't really a tsunami, but a big surge, and it grounded him in his house. And I believe he was the only person to die in Cordova. The thing that impressed me when I go back and look at some of those early reports was the massive size of the aftershocks, which went on for several weeks. I mean, it went on for months and months, but for several weeks, the aftershocks were as big as major earthquakes, and these went on and on and on. And, of course, to this day, my mother, you know, if if a big dump truck goes by and shakes the house slightly, you know, 10 miles away, she'll feel it. She is very attuned to earthquakes, as it were.
It was probably more traumatic for her than for you. I mean, you were a kid.
Yeah, it was a carnival ride, you know. We're like, yay, earthquake, let's do it again, Dad. The earthquake was on Good Friday. Both my parents were teachers, so school was shortly there out. And first thing my dad did, of course, load us all up in the car and then took a tour to go see all the damage. We went to Valdez and Seward and looking at all the damage and everything, taking pictures of it and whatnot. And I remember the fires still burning over in Valdez when we got over there. That's where you go from Cordova to get to the mainland. There's no road out of Cordova.
Yeah, I was going to say, Valdez really got hit. Can you describe what that was like?
The pictures I've seen, I don't really remember much. I do remember some of the trip. I remember seeing the fires. For some reason, I remember things were still on fire over there, at least, and I remember the smoke and stuff. But it was quite devastated, you know, what I remember in the pictures my father took. It was amazing. And this was several weeks later, of course, you know, but everything was still quite fresh, as it were, you know. Cordova, like I said, was at the epicenter, but it really was on solid rock. Cordova, all the land around there rose from 6 to 8 feet. I think a lot of people, when you hear that, you don't realize how powerful this was. But if you imagine taking solid rock, which Cordova is on, and an area that huge, and just lifting it all 6 to 8 feet, it's very impressive, you know. It's interesting to have been a part of something that is that big, you know. And I've since become quite interested in paleontology. I'm kind of an amateur paleontologist stuff, and looking at the huge forces that move our earth, and thinking that I was there and actually saw how the earth's shaped and formed and what caused a lot of these the stuff that you look at today, and people look and go, well, how the heck could that happen? You know, it's like, ah, that's, I've seen what can happen in a matter of minutes.